Ace Podcast.
10, 9, 8, 7, we have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
Hey, you. Welcome to another episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. I'm Craig.
I'm Aaron.
Aaron, isn't that music just invigorating?
It really is. It kind of pumps me up. The countdown gets me excited.
Every single time.
Every week.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone, the podcast that brings you the best in weird news and strange stories and funny stuff. And, Craig, we do it twice a week.
We do. You know why I know that?
How do you know?
Because I'm on it.
You are on the show.
I'm on both shows.
We do it every Monday. We do it every Friday.
Every Monday.
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 Rainy days and Mondays. Hey,
guess
what?
They always get me down.
We got a new review on our iTunes. I wanted to read it. This is from a Boomer podcast fan, and he said, "The greatest medicine for the middle-aged, 5 stars. This seems too simple to fathom, but Aaron and Craig bravely did just that. Grabbed a mic and entertained us with some great chemistry, stories, and humor. Great job, men. But then again, what do I know? I'm just a middle-aged man and proud of it."
I say he knows a lot.
You know who this is?
You're going to tell me.
This is Zach. He's a friend of mine I met at PodFest.
So now people are thinking, well, you know the guy.
No.
So of course he likes you.
I want to talk about Zach because he has his own podcast. It's called Raising Rents.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what are you, a slumlord? Yeah. He hears that all the time.
He said maybe.
He said, no, it's about raising parents. It's a podcast that explains things that are going to happen when your parents get older and move in the house or nursing home, and you've got to raise your parents. So it's a very interesting podcast. I think you should check it out.
Okay.
You know, we got a new way for people to get in touch with us, too.
Yeah, we got a voicemail.
And we got a lot of stories to get to, but I wanted to cover a couple things early tonight.
Okay. Hurry before they doze off.
Voicemail, area code 629-888-2896, Craig.
Or an easier way, you could click the button on our website or our Facebook page.
That's true. That is a very easy way, because then you just use your phone or your tablet or your computer, whatever.
And anybody can do it as long as they've got a computer and fingers.
That's all. Or you could email us at middleagededudes.
That's aged.
With a D. middleagededudes@gmail.com. Or you could even go to our website, just two dudes.stream.
That'll get you there.
Yeah. One other thing before we get to the top story.
Okay, just stay awake for one more second.
Adam, you know, our buddy.
Yeah.
Left us.
Down under.
Yeah, he left us a voicemail last week.
We appreciate that.
And we played it and just didn't even speak
about
it.
Didn't say a word.
Didn't give him a shout out or his misguided consultation podcast, which is a very good podcast.
If he listens long enough, though,
if he's been listening
long enough, he knows that we are absent-minded.
So, Adam, I'm sorry. Thank you for leaving us a voicemail.
And
that's
Adam,
very
kind
of you.
Adam, I can verify he is sorry.
Yeah, I am. You got top story?
All right, you know, when you got a kid, and he's been on the news this week. Guys on the news, kids come in the door while they're on
that was very funny.
That's good, yeah. But there's another one people aren't really talking about, is the kid that comes on to the weatherman's set while he's trying to deliver the weather.
Have you seen this, by the way?
Yes, I've seen it. And he starts talking about farts and stuff. I almost wonder if we should play that theme.
You know what? Why not? Flush, please. I think it actually
qualifies. Kid storms live weather forecast to fart on meteorologist.
He didn't see that storm coming.
Nope. Whoa. He didn't see that coming. He'd seen that cloud rolling in. This kid predicted one windy forecast. Meteorologist Patrick Ellis was reporting on the weather on WLBT in Mississippi on Saturday when an 8-year-old boy named Houston, the son of a lawyer with a segment on the channel, ran in front of the camera to share his own version of the forecast. "I don't know what's going on, but Zane doesn't know. Are you sure? Are you crazy sure?" The boy said, flapping his arms like a chicken and pretending to fart on Ellis. Struggling to keep a straight face, Ellis asked the kid if he'd like to point out the weather on the screen for him. "There are farts everywhere and toots."
That's my favorite line.
"There are farts everywhere and toots," said the little boy, before being carried off the set by his father. Employees often bring their children to the station on Saturdays, Ellis explained in a WLBT Facebook Live, after video of the interaction racked up thousands of views on social media.
It was hilarious.
"This Saturday was a little different," said Ellis. "This Saturday, our friend Houston decided he wanted to be on television."
All right, listen.
First Alert radar this evening. We do have some returns on the radar, but looking at the observations down in Natchez and some of the cameras down there, it's not actually hitting the ground. What's happening is that a lot of this moisture right now is getting eaten up.
Okay, that's just him telling the regular weather, you know, like a good weather man.
Right
You'll hear him
now,
chuckle
right
here
now,
in a second.
Dew points in the 20s and near 30 degrees across central Mississippi.
There you go.
It just shows up.
Well,
yeah, it's good.
I don't know what's going on, but Zane doesn't know.
What does that even mean?
Sure.
Well,
now my favorite line's coming up. It's when
we've got a little bit
he asks him if he wants to do
going
a forecast
on right now. Take a look at what's going on right now. You want to point out the weather right now?
Yeah, there are farms everywhere. It's crazy.
Okay, that's good stuff.
A guy, Zane, was Zane the weatherman?
I don't know who Zane was.
The weatherman.
Maybe he's the director.
He had nowhere to go, but you want to point at something on the map? And then the kid just went ahead with it. Just
okay, here's one from San Diego. Headline is, San Diego bank robber reveals identity by using ATM card during heist. So
seems like he should have thought that one through.
If only all crimes were this easy to solve. Alvin Lee Neal robbed a downtown San Diego bank, but before he did, he inserted his ATM card, a debit card, at the teller window, revealing his name and other personal identification.
Hi, I'm Alvin Lee Neal, and here's my card. I just need some money, if you don't mind. No, not out of my account. I need it out of your drawer.
Neal, age 56, was sentenced in San Diego federal court Tuesday to 3 years and 10 months in prison for robbery, the U.S. Attorney's Office said. Neal entered the Wells Fargo branch on First Avenue on May 13th, approached the teller window, according to his plea agreement. He first swiped his card through the card reader at the window. What an idiot. When the teller hesitated, Neal said, "You don't want anyone to get hurt. Don't make a mistake." Oh, he got violent on her. He went all mad. Teller handed him $565 in 20s and 1s, and Neal ran out of the bank, pulling a metal cart from the bank behind him, according to the complaint. What did he do that for? You think he's trying to block everybody from chasing him?
Maybe he was just, yeah.
Well, with his debit card information on hand, investigators found his driver's license and address and discovered Neal is a registered sex offender. He's previously convicted of attempted rape, sexual battery, according to the California Megan's Law website. FBI agents and San Diego police officers set up surveillance at a hostel on 10th Avenue downtown and stopped him as he left the building that afternoon. He agreed to a search of his room he was staying in, which turned up a checkered, double-breasted jacket that the robber appeared to have worn, as well as Neal's debit card.
You go in to rob a bank with a checkered, double-breasted jacket
on.
Nobody's
going to be looking at you.
No one's going to find...
Sure.
Yeah, no one,
that's not bizarre.
All I could remember was that hideous jacket.
He admitted to robbing the bank, and when questioned by investigators, he is ordered to pay back $565. That's got to be one of the lowest bank robbery numbers ever.
Take-home to sentencing ratio is
pretty
bad.
You ain't kidding.
That is just absolutely horrible.
Hey, we're doing something a little different today, Craig. You know what? I've got like 6 Florida stories here. So we're going to have a Florida segment.
Well, let's do it.
You got the first one?
Yes.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Florida tourist flips golf cart while attempting to run over, well, guess what?
What?
A rooster.
What's wrong
I don't
with
know.
A rooster?
I don't know. A drunk tourist in the Keys is accused of attempting to commit a foul crime.
I see what they did.
Daniel H. Jones of Cinnamon Sun, New York.
I said
New Jersey. That was New York and New Jersey together. New York. Had a blood alcohol content over 3 times the legal limit while erratically driving a golf cart and attempting to run down a rooster in Key West on March 3rd.
What in the world did the rooster do to him?
He was adamant about trying to hit the rooster, witness Vincent Vero told Florida Keys News. However, Jones, 34, did more to damage himself and his 2 passengers when he rolled the cart over.
Oh, man.
And ejected everyone from the vehicle.
They just flew.
The rooster, of course, just kind of jumped onto the sidewalk to avoid injury. And went, oh, that was close. Jones was arrested on suspicion of driving under influence. How about just verification?
Do a test or something.
And property damage and minor injury. There was no comment from the rooster.
Okay, Florida story number 2.
In Florida,
I'm going to do it for everyone.
Really?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so every single time you got a Florida story, we're going to hear that.
Headline is, Palm Harbor man accidentally shoots himself in the bathroom at an AMC theater in Oldsmar.
How do you get from going to a movie to shooting yourself in the bathroom?
Are you not supposed to take guns in a theater now? He's going to be in some big trouble.
I guess if it's posted.
A 26-year-old man accidentally shot himself Friday in the bathroom stall at the AMC Woodland Square in Florida.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. The Woodlands.
That's the square.
Yeah, that's over the square. Yeah.
Deputy said Nathan A. Schraj of Palm Harbor removed his gun from a concealed holster and placed it on the toilet paper holder at the theater on Tampa Road.
Can't end well.
I'm going to back up because it's concealed. I bet he has a carry permit.
He probably does, but if it's, I don't know if theaters are all posted or not.
When Schraj attempted to place the gun back in the holster shortly before 2 p.m., the firearm accidentally discharged a bullet and injured his hand.
Why did he take it out of the holster?
Sarge has a valid concealed carry permit. No other movie patrons were inside the bathroom during the shooting, deputy said. Schraj was transported to Tampa General Hospital with injuries that were not considered life-threatening.
Well, stupidity is not considered life-threatening.
I know, that's right.
Hey.
Yeah, what do you got?
Got another Florida story.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Man wearing I have drugs shirt arrested for drug possession. Colon deputies. What's the colon deputies part at the end?
That means they said that, I guess.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe.
A Florida man who was wearing a T-shirt that said, I have drugs, was arrested for drug possession, authorities said. John Ballmer, 50, was arrested Monday for possession of methamphetamine and possession of marijuana at the Kmart in Houston, north of Tampa, according to the Pasco County Sheriff's Office. Ballmer remained behind bars Wednesday on a $2,100 bond, jail record showed. It was unknown if he has an attorney. The sheriff's office posted a photo on the Facebook page of Ballmer wearing the shirt, which reads, "Who needs drugs? No, seriously, I have drugs."
That's so funny. Okay, this one, I don't know that you have this one or not, but it's still a Florida one, so.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Headline is, Iron Man robs blood bank near Fort Lauderdale. I'm hungry, the gunman tells employees before taking off with the cash box. So Iron Man went and robbed a blood bank. Broward Sheriff's Office detectives are looking for a gunman who robbed a blood bank near Fort Lauderdale. You think he thought it was like a money bank?
I don't know.
He just saw bank on the sign?
I don't have the story in front of me.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what happened to it.
I'm actually protesting by not listening to you talk.
You better, because you're going to have to comment.
Nope.
The armed robbery was reported.
Of course he had arms.
About 10:30 a.m. March 3rd at Continental Service Group.
Continental.
Incorporated. Surveillance video shows the gunman who was wearing a
The gunman.
Who was wearing a hooded Iron Man mask and sweatshirt.
How do we know it's not the real Iron Man?
Walking up to the reception desk, pushing a customer's and pointing a gun at the employees. A spokesman said the gunman told the employees, I'm hungry. And they said, you know we're a blood bank, right?
I'm a vampire. I'm hungry.
The gunman got away with the cash box. All right, you got the next Florida story?
No, I don't, actually. Milton Massachusetts.
Oh. Okay, here, read this one.
Okay, I'll read the one that I didn't have a minute ago. I had one from Milton, Massachusetts a minute ago. Ready?
Yeah, I'm
ready. Marathon, Florida. Sheriff? Yeah? What about it? Yeah, Sheriff?
Sheriff? Got the sheriff on the line.
The sheriff says, drunk man steals forklift. He needed to drive. We've had a forklift story before. Remember the guy in the cherry picker?
Oh, yeah. Remember the guy last episode, or episode two ago or something,
what?
That made a tank out of his
That was a good one. Florida Keys authorities say a drunken man from Rhode Island stole a forklift and crashed into a gate, telling deputies he lost his car keys and needed something to drive. Well, it seems like a reasonable, I can believe that.
Sure.
He just didn't choose, you know, very wisely.
Why?
And also there was the whole theft thing.
All right.
The Monroe County Sheriff's Office says in a news release that the 44-year-old Edward Quinton of Greenwich, Rhode Island, told deputies.
Eddie. You remember Eddie?
Yes. I don't talk about Eddie after our falling out we had. I don't want to talk about it. You remember the burrito?
Oh, Eddie and the burrito.
Threw it.
Yes.
And then there was the whole pot pie thing.
Crazy.
Anyway, so Quinton was quoted as saying after he lost his keys Thursday night, he needed a vehicle and took the forklift from a Marathon marina because, I'm just thinking, it's a marina. Shouldn't they have boats at a marina?
Yeah, sure. Jump in
the
water
or something. Forklifts or something. Anyway, he took it because he knew how to drive one. He also told deputies he thought he could fix the damaged gate. Breath test showed Quinton's blood alcohol level was twice Florida's legal limit. He faces drunk driving, criminal mischief, burglary. Well, you and I both have problems with burglary.
I can't say it.
Burglary. And grand theft charges. Jail records list no attorney for Quinton.
Two guys who can't talk are doing a podcast.
Isn't that great? That's why people just adore us.
And I'm terrible.
That's why people just adore us.
I'm the worst of all of it. That was our last Florida story for the night, but it was our Florida section.
Stop.
I'm closing it.
Please stop. Okay, first of all, that song is almost an earwig. It's going to get in your head and not go away. Shouldn't you be reading a story about some sweaters or something?
Headline is, Retirees knitting sweaters for chili chickens.
I think I've seen this.
It was on the news this week.
Have you seen? We talked about the chicken wearing the blue pants, right?
Yes, we did.
That was good.
Sweaters for chickens?
He's a wee little chicken. He's wearing pants.
It sounds
he's
like
got
a
trousers.
Joke, but a plucky group of retirees in suburban Boston has hatched a plan to keep poultry warm during the New England winter.
You know what they are, don't you?
What are they?
Plucky.
The unusual.
Or I guess since they're chickens, they're clucky.
The unusual project began after members of a knitting club at Fuller Village, a retirement home in Milton, Massachusetts, heard about the hardships some chickens suffer this time of year.
Wait.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure millions of chickens a day suffer hardships, if
they
you know
do.
What I mean.
They can't make enough sweaters to cover all these chickens.
No,
and that's
I'm
why
saying
they have
I'm saying these chickens don't have no need for sweaters.
These chickens aren't as cold as the ones in my freezer right now.
That's
certain breeds shed their feathers and grow new plumage. That's a fun word to say.
Plumage.
Plumage in the winter months. Others imported from tropical climates just aren't suited for wintry conditions.
And wait. And why?
Because
they're from tropical climates.
Yes.
Right.
Organizer Nancy Kern said the project benefits birds kept on a neighboring estate known as the Mary M.B. Wakefield Charitable Trust.
Mary M.B. Wakefield.
I don't think in my wildest dreams I ever thought anybody made sweaters for chickens, said Barbara Widmeyer, age 76, who started knitting when she was just 15 years old. She's been knitting chicken sweaters for 60 years. Among the sweaters Widmeyer crafted by hand was one for Prince Peep. Prince Peep. I wonder if it's purple. A rooster native to Malaysia. There's so much going on these days. It's kind of contentious in the world.
Contentious?
Contentious is what I said,
yeah,
right?
Contentious
in the world, she said. It was actually very calming for me to work on this. I wish she'd make me a sweater. I get chilly sometimes. Anyway, another knitter, 76-year-old Libby Kaplan, said the experience has helped her overcome her fear of birds.
Wow.
She was afraid of the fine-feathered friends of ours.
I guess so.
One person I heard say there were more important things to do in this world.
Yeah, birds are kind of creepy. They walk around those two legs. They kind of bob their heads around.
Doing the pigeon. A lot of them are doing the pigeon. Make things for people that need it. Well, I think animals need to be warm, too. And so I'm glad we did it, Kaplan said. The chickens seem to like their sweaters. Estate spokeswoman Erica Mack says egg production has jumped noticeably since the birds began wearing their sweaters.
Exactly.
That's extremely exactly right.
It's
got some members of the club wondering what exotic project to take on next.
They weren't left with any egg on their face.
You want to hear what they sound like? I've actually got audio of this.
A group of retirees in Boston hatching a clever plan to keep chickens warm in the winter. The knitting club at the Fuller Village Retirement Home is making sweaters for the birds.
One of them was a little
this
chicken to start,
after hearing
though.
That some of the chickens were imported from tropical climates and have trouble with the harsh cold weather.
They're chilly.
When they said they were going to make the sweaters for the chickens, I thought it was the most foolish thing I've ever heard in my life. And everybody I told laughed at me and
laughed.
They couldn't believe it.
Oh, we should make fun of her.
But we made the sweaters
the
for the
Glenn
chickens.
Mella played.
And I'm glad that we did.
And the chicken keepers say egg production has increased since the birds started wearing their sweaters.
I think we're basically playing the story over again.
We pretty much
in case
are.
You got a scantily clad feathered chicken at home.
And the thing is, those chicken sweaters are so small, they could just crank them out.
They're tiny little sweaters.
Yeah, little bitty, wee little. Look at the size of the sweater,
it's
that
so
little chicken.
Small.
All right.
What do you
this
got?
This really isn't such a bad idea, other than the fact it's completely disrespectful.
That's what I'm saying.
And weird.
Yeah. I heard about this a lot, like in the 80s.
But you know what? Let me say what it's about.
Go ahead.
Then we'll give our
Read
editorial.
Read that headline, would you?
Funeral home in Orange Mound offers drive-through viewing.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I thought for years
that
they should have a marquee up front that says, now playing Grandpa. And what's funny is they've started doing that. It doesn't say now playing Grandpa, but it's got the names of the people. And I always thought that made enough sense because people driving by are looking for the right funeral home.
Yeah.
And I just thought it would just be a nice little, you know.
Why not?
Okay. So now we may have taken it another step towards Idiocracy.
Yes.
When Ryan Bernard bought the old bank building, I wonder if he puts the bodies in the pneumatic tube and shoots them out to your car to let you look at them. When Ryan
don't get one cremated because that's how they deliver them.
when Ryan Bernard bought the old bank building in Orange Mound, he found an unusual use for the drive-through window. Bernard, owner of R. Bernard Funeral Services, offers grieving loved ones a chance to pay their last respects conveniently from their car.
You know,
because we wouldn't want the lazy jerks to get up and come see the family.
I'd be mad.
I know.
If I'm up in heaven looking down and people are just driving by like, hey, there he is.
Yeah, I know. You couldn't even stop, you know, drinking your milkshake to look in at me. Guests drive up and view the body through a bulletproof window.
You're going to kill him again?
He was dead when I found him.
I guess it was bulletproof because it used to be a bank.
I guess so, yeah. I guess that makes sense. The drive-through visitation service is a mobile spin on the traditional wake. I got the idea a couple of years back when I went out in California. It caught my attention. I thought it was neat, and I thought I could bring it back to Memphis. And in this, Memphis, of course, it's in Tennessee.
Oh, great.
Bernard said, being in Memphis, we are surrounded by a lot of big-name funeral homes that have been around for 100 years. So being the new kid on the block, so to speak, I needed something unique to make me stand apart.
Unique.
In addition to novelty, Bernard said that the drive-through viewings offer accessibility and convenience.
That's the problem. You're not supposed to be convenient at a funeral
home.
Well,
it helps out those that lack physical mobility. They don't make scooters for that. Those who don't feel like the hassle of parking.
Bingo.
And getting out. Or those who are scared to come into a funeral home.
Who's scared to go into a funeral? Are there people that are afraid to go into funeral homes?
A lot of funeral homes creep people out. Yeah, I'm creeped out.
They creep me out, but I'm not afraid to go in.
I'm not afraid to go in.
They smell funny.
Yeah. They're almost intentionally... They're too somber. They need to be bright. They cater too much to...
They're creepy, but why do they have to be? I want to build a funeral home.
That's what I just said. They don't need to be that way.
No, I want to build one that looks like a theme park inside. And you could actually roller coaster.
What if we put the body in a crane machine and you could just pick?
Yeah.
If you could win the body. Is that a bad taste?
Yes, yeah, very bad.
If it was me, I would be okay with it. I'm not going
to
care.
We have a mutual friend that wanted to build a funeral home that was decked out like a Bass Pro Shop. Just stuff everywhere, wood walls.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, man, a fireplace.
Well, there are people that make NASCAR. They have NASCAR caskets and all kinds of stuff.
Sure. There's a Kiss casket. They call it the Kisket.
Okay, I'm just going to keep going here.
Yeah.
That's okay. The drive-through visitation is not a new concept, but the business at blah, 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 Lamar, blah, blah, is one of the first to offer the service. I don't want to encourage people to go there.
One of the first to offer the service, really?
Service in the Mid-South. A few funeral homes outside of the Memphis area also offer the service on the West Coast.
Well, it's to be expected out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Robert L. Adams Mortuary in Compton. He's straight out of Compton, by the way.
He is straight out.
Also advertises drive-through viewings. In the Midwest, Paradise Funeral Chapel in Saginaw, Michigan, began offering drive-through visitations in 2014. When we first started it, everyone was talking about it. It was a big deal, said Ivan Phillips, owner of Paradise Funeral Chapel. Things now calm down, and we use the service two or three times a week. Bernard said since he opened his funeral home in January, six families have selected the drive-through option. The service is part of the funeral packages and offered at no additional charge. We still have traditional visitation services, Bernard said. The drive-through is just an added bonus for your family member. I don't think there's any bonuses for the family member.
No.
It's up to the family to decide if they want this option.
And you can sign in, you know, with your iPad or your cell phone. That's the weird thing, too. You could drive up and you could connect via Wi-Fi to a digital book. Sign in. I would take every name, and I'd say, all right, and get back at them somehow.
You're out of the will.
Yeah,
you're
out of the will. That's
you're
it.
Out of the will.
Of course,
you're out of the will.
Yeah, well. All right, this headline. Hey, this is another Randall story.
Okay.
By the way, Randall's show, Don't Wake the Kids, had the funniest pun I've ever heard about a millipede this week.
Do they need to go listen to hear it, or are you going to tell us?
I'm not going to tell it.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to steal it from Randall. When they looked at photographs from Mars, they made a shocking discovery. Did they find a squirrel?
No.
I think they did.
They didn't.
Conspiracy theorists. Ooh.
Conspiracy?
We got a top 10.
More on that later.
Up. Yeah. Conspiracy theorists claim to have made an incredible discovery on Mars after some photos appear to show a squirrel scurrying between boulders.
Remember when they thought they found the face?
You know,
Mars?
This really looks just like a squirrel.
That really looked like a face.
No, it didn't. I could tell it wasn't a face. The supposed animal was...
I didn't think it was a face. I'm saying it looked like
a face. This, I think, was a squirrel. This is a Martian squirrel.
I need to see the photos.
The supposed animal was spotted on official NASA photographs taken by a Curiosity rover not long after it landed on Mars in 2012. It's believed the picture reveals a top-secret NASA experiment which violates animal...
Oh, goodness.
How does that violate animal rights? They're having the time of their life up there. A little chilly, maybe. The UFO sightings daily website said, "It's really amazing and strange. I guess that's why I love this one so much. It's a cute rodent on Mars."
People will buy anything.
Okay. They've got a camera pointed to the desert somewhere, and there's a squirrel that ran by. They're busted. So now they're saying, uh-oh, that's really Mars. There's just squirrels on Mars.
Because you're a believer that it's all...
The photos...
It's all a bunch of stupid stuff.
The photos do appear very convincing. The object looks like a squirrel crouching between two boulders. Not only does the shape represent that of a squirrel found here on Earth, but also appears to have ears, eyes, a nose, front legs, as well as a tail.
It also looks like three rocks piled in front of each other. I'm looking at the picture right now.
That's a squirrel. The UFO sightings
daily
website. I just read that. I'm not going to read it again. Why would they not tell us about it? Because the squirrel would be expected to die eventually, and that would get PETA to fight against them in a court of law.
That is so funny.
PETA.
I see the eyes as if they're talking about, but that is the most ridiculous thing ever.
Looks like a squirrel to me, man.
You like a good ghost story.
Who doesn't?
People that don't like them.
Okay.
People that get scared easy.
I guess I'll take that.
Ghost, in quotation marks.
Yeah.
Drive Brazil's president from residence.
That's true.
Brazil's president, Michel Temer.
Oh, Temer.
Blames bad vibes. Oh, bad vibes. And even Ghost for driving him from his sumptuous official residence in the capital of Brasilia. A Brazilian news weekly report reported Saturday. I'm having a hard time getting that first sentence.
I'm sorry, that has got bad vibes.
Yeah, bad vibe.
Yeah, very bad.
He surprised Brazilians this week with a revelation that he decamped from the Alvorada Palace and moved with his former beauty queen wife and their 7-year-old son down the road to a smaller vice presidential residence.
Quick, go down here. It's not as crowded with ghosts.
The modernist Alvorada, which means dawn, and was designed by Brazilian architect Oscar Niemeyer, would be a dream home for many. It has a huge pool, a football field, chapel, medical center, and a vast lawn.
You know, I bet they mean
have a green lawn.
I bet they mean a soccer field when they say football field.
That might be, yeah. But Temer, 76, and his 33.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
33-year-old wife, Marcella, find the cavernous glass-fronted building spooky.
Oh, is that it? Is that the problem?
That's what it is. I felt something strange was there. I wasn't able to sleep enough from the first night. The energy was not good.
Oh, they had bad electricity.
Right. It was really bad energy. He was quoted in saying by Veja, "Marcella felt the same thing. Only Michelzinho."
Who?
Michelzinho?
That's what I thought.
"Who went running from one end to the other liked it."
The kid liked it.
"We even started to wonder."
He said, "Don't move. I've already made friends."
That's right. "We even started to wonder, could there be ghost?" He reportedly quipped to Veja.
He quipped.
According to report in Globo newspaper, Marcella Temer brought in a priest to attempt to drive out any evil spirits, but to no avail. The Temers then moved to the still luxurious but smaller Jaburu Palace.
Hey, watch your language.
Temer knows it well. This was his residence when he served as vice president until last year, when then President Dilma Rousseff was impeached for breaking budget accounting laws.
That explains it.
He's homesick.
He's 76 years old. He's set in his ways. He didn't want that new house. He wanted his old house.
He's homesick.
So he said, "You know what, ghost?"
Yep. I bet he left his bird there.
I bet he did.
He had to go back and get his bird.
Yeah, the one with the sweater.
Yeah, the one that wears the little sweater.
Yeah.
That automatically put Temer in the top job and in the Alvorada. Anyway, no one. I want to conquer that word, Alvorada. No one filled his vacant vice presidential post, however, meaning he can now take his pick of the palaces. The house moving comes in the middle of a severe political crisis for Brazil, with many of Temer's allies facing potential corruption probes.
Don't probe them.
They're like, are they aliens? The president himself is battling a case in the electoral court where he is accused of having benefited from illegal donations when he and Rousseff ran together in 2014.
Where'd they run?
So these guys go running together every morning.
They're joggers.
And that somehow got illegal donations for doing that?
Yep.
Maybe it was like a GoFundMe.
Okay, before we get to our top 10 list tonight,
mm-hmm.
We have been talking about our new voicemail, and we've got a call this week. And it has to do with our top 10 list. And
right.
since we're about to do a top 10 list, I thought we'd like to hear what Randall has to say. And it has nothing to do with squirrels this time. Take a listen.
Hey, guys. I said my name when I got connected, but in case it doesn't come through on your recording, this is Randall from Don't Wake Kids. I just have one little comment to make regarding this week's episode, your top 10. Holy crap. I've had some issues, just a couple of small issues with the top 10s that you've had in the past. But I think after this one, you need to find a new source. Any list that has Nickelback at all on a top 10 of the best, it just needs to go in the trash. They could be on definitely the top five.
We're not arguing with him.
Nope, not at all.
But he's right. That's ridiculous.
Keith would argue. Okay, Randall. I think
I thought you were going to start talking to him.
I think you're going to have to listen again because that was the top 10 worst platinum albums that were no good.
Right.
Top 10 worst platinum albums.
Right.
Yeah. Top 10 worst albums that went platinum, and Nickelback had the top three.
I want my Nickelback.
Give me my Nickelback. Thanks, Randall, for calling, and you too could call and leave us a message.
Really, Bono, The Edge?
Sure. You too could call.
You too could call if they want to.
You can call our voicemail.
You can call if you want to. You can leave your friends behind.
Okay.
Ready for the top 10.
I'm going to stop playing this if you don't stop dancing.
Okay. Top 10. I'm a little nervous about this.
Are you really? I am too.
Top 10 most popular conspiracy theories.
You know, this comes to us from the Daily Dot, and I'm a little upset about it because half of these aren't really conspiracies. They're just fact.
According to you.
Right. Yeah.
Number 10.
Go with number 10.
Obama.
Barack Obama?
Yes, Barack Obama is a secret Muslim. I don't think he kept it a secret at all.
It's not a secret. Number 9, the Illuminati and the New World Order. I want to say right here, that's not conspiracy.
Whatever.
There's Illuminati and there's New World Order.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Number 8.
Number 8.
Some celebrity. It can be any celebrity, but there's a lot of them.
Pick a dead celebrity.
Elvis is still alive.
Kurt Cobain. Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's number 8. Number 8 is that you insert
any celebrity.
Any celebrity. Well, not any, but there are several
that
are still alive.
Okay, number 7. Paul is dead.
That is a crazy one.
You know, have you heard it recently where they say that the Paul McCartney that's been touring ever since the 60s is an imposter?
Well, that's what they've always said.
Yeah,
they've always said that he died early on. It was stupid.
Number 6, I think, is a conspiracy. I don't believe it.
JFK. Well, I don't believe it.
No, I don't.
It says JFK was an inside job. It was clear from the video and the footage that it was an outside job. Thank you. Thank you. I'm playing all week.
Okay, number 5, the Roswell crash and Area 51.
I think Area 51's very real now.
It's there.
The fact that
you can see it.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, the fact that there's alien crap, man, that'd be kind of cool, I guess.
But yeah, number 4 is a fact.
Number 4, according to you,
is a fact.
Stanley Kubrick faked the moon landing.
Now, see, here's where you get confused. I don't disagree that we went to the moon, okay? I'm just saying the footage was faked by Stanley Kubrick.
No, it wasn't.
It really was.
No, it wasn't.
Number 3. Chemtrails are controlling your mind. I just waved at you.
You're a chemtrail. Chemtrails, for those who don't know, are the trails behind the airplanes.
Yeah, some would call it exhaust.
Yeah, some would call it skywriting.
Yeah.
Number 2.
Yeah.
That 9/11 was an inside job.
I don't believe it.
That's a good one, though, because there's so many weird things that it's ridiculous, I think.
It really is.
But what I like about a good conspiracy, though, is that even though you may know, okay, this is a bunch of bull, they do have these few little things in there that make you go, oh, wait, okay, I can't explain that one away.
Yeah.
That's what makes a good conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, okay, Aaron, and the number 1 top 10 most popular conspiracy theory is that Kevin, help. Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review it in your favorite podcast platform. There's a number of ways you can contact us. Email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail at 629-888-2896, or simply click the voicemail button on our Facebook page or website. Our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/2, that's the number 2, Middle-Aged Dudes. We publish 2 episodes a week, every Monday and every Friday, so please check back soon.